you know, to children as well as adults, you know, so that they can experience their own conversion at the time in their life. Yes.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes.
That included all ages. On page 9, thank you all for your input. Page 9, number 3, the language of born again. In John 3:3, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There are two views of this term, a decision in the life of the person to commit one's life to Christ, and a transformation of the person by God's grace accomplished at baptism. Alrighty. And then the rest I'm going to refer to your own study, but I wanted to get over and spend some time on page 11. The language of born again, because this can be something that people, you know, in our church can see as well, that's not a Catholic term, or that's not how we think or talk or whatever. So let's look at this. The language implies certain realities that take place. God acts, remember that's grace, unmerited favor, to save us through Jesus Christ and his work of redemption. We receive that work by surrendering our life to him, meaning by confessing him as Lord. That's how we receive it. So we have to do something. He's already done his part, but our part is we need to receive it. We are born to a whole new way of life when we do that, a new relationship with God, a new family, a new power to live, a life of love. We have a new identity, we have a new mission, a new purpose, and we have a new eternal home. In short, we have a new heart and a new spirit. This is from Ezekiel 36, taking from us the stony heart and giving us a heart of flesh. Then it goes on to say in Jeremiah, "And in those days, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the least to the greatest." We just had that this morning.
Yeah. Yes.
"The least to the greatest will know me, and I will remember their sins no more." Amen. So here's the big question. Are Catholics born again?
Yes.
Born again to a personal relationship with Jesus. We are. When we accept what he did for us on the cross, we accept the Paschal mystery, we accept the message of salvation. We're born again into a new family, the family of God, right? We talked about how different it is, how we relate one to the other when we accept Jesus into our hearts in this way. We're born again by the work of the cross and the indwelling spirit. We're born again to a life of love. We're born again to serve the Lord. I mean, how many of us are in ministry now, and prior to knowing the Lord this way, we were not in ministry. We didn't serve the Lord in this way. We're born again to a new spiritual power, to live a life of holiness and service to the Lord. Our response to this offer of new life, repentance, confession of Jesus as Lord, yielding to the Holy Spirit and his gifts, where did all this occur? For the early church, it occurred in the liturgy of initiation at the Easter Vigil. That's when it all happened for those folks. So for us, we should have that experience in our life. And how do we have that experience? We have that experience by being here today. We have that experience by hearing the Word of God over and over again, because that's how our faith comes, by the hearing and hearing. We have that experience when we're called forth to commit our life to Jesus as that personal Lord and Savior, and we do that. Or we feel that we've fallen back from that and we want to renew that commitment. We have that experience when we say, "Come Holy Spirit, come into our hearts, dwell within us, and show me your presence." And then expect to have our own personal Pentecost. Expect to pray in tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. Expect to prophesy in the name of Jesus. Expect to have words of knowledge and words of wisdom. Expect that when we lay our hands on the sick, they will recover. Amen? Amen. That's how it happens for us. And that's what it's supposed to look like. Your church, my church. your celebrations, our celebrations here. Your Easter vigils, our Easter vigils here at St. Philip Neri. That's what the Lord intends. That's what the church intends. You can rightfully expect that in your gatherings because you are Catholic Christians. This comes from the Pope, to the bishops, to the local pastors, as I said earlier. And it can come through you. Somebody said to me earlier, you know, I had someone studying for the priesthood who went on a retreat recently and for the first time found out that they could really go into their heart and talk to the Lord about their past, to talk to the Lord about hurts and disappointments from the past. And he said, I've been in the seminary all these years. Nobody ever said that to me. I never knew that. But because this person happened to be at a good place, at a retreat where people obviously knew Jesus and were bringing him to this individual, for the first time he was able to experience that. So if you have experienced it, if I have experienced it, shouldn't we share that? Should we just assume that people in our families, that people in our parishes, that people, you know, that the clergy in our churches, that they have had that experience? Should we? Should we?
Yeah.
No, we should have a resounding no to that. No, we should not assume that. We should not assume that. Suppose people assumed that about us, we wouldn't be sitting here. If someone hadn't have shared that with you, remember, we looked at the process, evangelization, the first part of the process, growing in faith, secondly, and then conversion. If we were not told, we wouldn't be sitting here today. We wouldn't have a love to praise the Lord like we've been doing, you know, like we did this morning. We wouldn't have heard the prophetic word of the Lord, you know. We wouldn't be here. We'd be out doing something else that the world's offering today. So we need to be willing to share that. And wherever you are in the process, again, wherever you are, you know, let this be a check into your own heart, you know. Take the teaching home, go through it. See where you are in your journey. See where you are in your process. And wherever then you need to step out and grow, wherever you need to step out in faith, you know, do that. And where you need to evangelize it, and where you're not seeing it, because this is what you can expect as Catholic Christians. This is what the church is meant to look like. This is what Jesus has called it to look like. This is what our church says it should look like. If it doesn't look that way, then talk about that. If it doesn't look that way, say, you know, I read in the catechism that these are the things that happened in the early church, and that these are the things that we can credibly expect to happen today. Why isn't that happening? You have a right to ask that question. And you have a right and deserve an answer. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us. We know. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.